Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have reports from Melissa Hammer and Tyler Donaldson as well. A decent weather day on tap today, but showers and thunderstorms are back in the forecast for tomorrow and Friday. The western Dakotas have the best chance for severe weather, but heavy rain is also possible in the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota tomorrow. At this hour, there are some spotty rain seen in that Brookings area, just north of Brookings. The saturated soils in southern Minnesota are also seeing additional rain.
Lake Crystal, Minnesota farm management analyst Kent Tesey says choosing to replant will need to be an economic decision in those flooded areas based on multi-peril crop insurance coverage.
Depending how many acres you lost and what the condition of the rest of the crop is, obviously, if you have 85% coverage, that means if the spring price, a 15% loss of crop, and you're already qualifying for crop insurance, and right now those prices for corn and soybeans are below that spring price, so that would raise that percentage of coverage even higher. In other words, it'd be a smaller percent that covers.
TC says there will be several factors to consider.
Considerations for how much extra they put in, maybe putting extra nitrogen on or fungicide on corn, going to be evaluating a lot of those decisions, and every farm situation is different. And, you know, the best advice you can do with crop insurance is work with your crop insurance agent, find out what your options are, work with them to run some economic numbers and kind of take a look at it. And if anyone's interested, I have put together kind of an information sheet on replanting options and prevent plant coverage. They can just send me an email at kenttc@gmail.com, and I'd be glad to email it out to anybody.
The floods seen across much of southern Minnesota are impacting more than just farmers. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has that story.
The rains hitting central and southern Minnesota are flooding fields and streets alike. University of Minnesota Extension educator Shane Bougea says the impact of all the rain they've been receiving goes beyond farming and agriculture and is felt within the communities around them.
A good example of that is even in our own extension office. So we have a support staff whose family member was asked to evacuate in St. Peter. We have had master gardeners and a county extension committee members with flooded houses. I have had the farmers that I work with a lot. This is the first year that they've had issues in a field. You know, even the farmer that I get, some of my produce at the farmer's market has been severely impacted. So this is the types of events where it really crosses across all different lines of work.
Bougea says extension agronomists are examining recovery methods for farmers for when the waters have receded, methods such as good cover crops to plant and allowing cattle to graze where available.
After the floodwaters recede, there's kind of two things that I worry about is weeds and the soil. So if we have these areas where the crop is gone, weeds are sure to follow. That poses a challenge, too, because a lot of these areas, can a farmer get equipment out there? Can they, can they take care of some of these weed issues? And, it really depends. Making sure that you carefully select cover crops that will not only work with your herbicide program, but also do well being planted around July or so. And the other issue is, okay, once you got the cover crop growing, what do you do with it? So if you have areas that can be grazed by livestock, that would be great. I know it's a challenge. Not a lot of row crop farmers are integrated with livestock, but there are options for folks to try to get in contact with people with animals. And if you've got areas that need to be grazed, linking them together.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
The Iowa Utilities Board has approved the Summit Carbon Solutions carbon pipeline. The board said it found the public benefits outweigh the public and private costs of the project. This gives the proposed pipeline the right of eminent domain to complete the project. Once complete, the carbon dioxide will be sequestered permanently underground in North Dakota. The project still needs approval from other states on the pipeline route.
The flooding in Minnesota, South Dakota, and Iowa has disrupted rail service for BNSF. A bridge on the Big Sioux River northwest of Sioux City collapsed, rail traffic being rerouted. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. After recent floods, Pioneer Sales Associate Tim Gary sees little hope for replanting corn.
Yeah, corn is pretty well shut down. I don't anticipate really anybody. We've sent all of our corn back, and I don't anticipate anybody replanting corn at this point. There may be some that try to go put something in those holes in the cornfield if they can get to them from the road. But with the heat, the corn is going to be getting a little bit too tall to probably even get out there anyway if there's holes in the middle of the field. So corn's pretty well done.
Gary, who's based near Blue Earth, Minnesota, expects to see soybean replanting right up until the insurance deadline.
Soybeans is our big debate. I think there'll be a little bit of replant, really well-drained farms on the top side of systems here this weekend if we don't catch that half inch or whatever they're calling for this weekend. I think we're looking at another 3/4 inch next week, and if that happens, that might put the nail in the coffin even for the most optimistic guys for replant on soybeans. But we're preparing to replant some. We just don't know how much or if any we'll be able to get through here the next, probably by the 10th of July, I would say would be our kind of our cutoff date. There might be some guys that push to the 15th.
The Minnesota State Cattlemen Association Summer Tour, which was based out of the Thief River Falls area, had some excellent stops yesterday. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer was on that tour.
The Greenbush Vet Clinic used to run out of a house. To say that upgrades were needed would be an understatement. Jen Schmiedeberg, an employee at the vet clinic, is excited to showcase the newer facilities to producers in the area.
We built this haul-in facility, this barn, what we call it. It's kind of a steel shed, but we call it the barn, where people can haul in, you know, any, not large numbers of animals, but if he's got to do a C-section on a cow or a cow is, you know, having trouble calving or maybe she's prolapsed, it's a great facility where you can haul it, you know, one or two animals in. He tests bulls back here this time of year quite a lot. We bring horses in and use the stock for ultrasounds and do save a lot in the end, too. That keeps us busy that time of year.
The new expansion is for the small animal side of the clinic.
The new clinic that was built was primarily for small animals. We have big areas that we've never had before. We've got two exam rooms, a separate surgery room, separate areas for dogs and cats kennel-wise, two offices, storage rooms, a lot more space than we ever had before, so it is fun. I mean, the farmers from our area that were here today are kind of in awe because they've been to the other place and knowing how small it is, so this is really kind of fun.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
State Representative John Burkle sees the Minnesota State Cattle Tour as a chance to learn.
Alwyn, I'd signed up for the tour. I'd never been on one of these tours before, and it's right in my backyard. So I figured it's a good chance to get together and network with some of the local farmers. A lot of people I know, a lot of people I don't know. Like they said, coming in, you're going to network with a lot of folks who do a lot of different things as far as cattle goes and learn a lot. So it's fun to meet people from other parts of the state doing different things. And it's fun to see folks up here seeing how cattle are raised up in northwestern Minnesota. I think it's really about just the camaraderie of the farmer getting together and just working through all the issues they have to work through to make a living back home. So it's kind of fun to get together.
And Burkle uses opportunities like this to help guide his work at the state level.
From the livestock aspect, there's all of the there's different angles from animal rights groups, and everybody's got a story or how they do things, how policies might affect them at the state level. For me, it really comes back to taking what's really boots on the ground here locally and trying to integrate that into how policy affects them when you're in St. Paul and who's writing that policy and whether or not they actually understand what they're doing to the farmer back home. And because I'm a farmer myself, I think I can really relate to how those policies, when they're interpreted wrong or when they're implemented wrong, how that can affect guys back on the ground.
The Justice Department is working with USDA to boost competition in the livestock industry. Assistant Attorney General for Antitrust, Jonathan Cantor, says it's time to enforce the Packers and Stockyards Act beyond poultry and focus on beef and other parts of the food supply chain.
That's one reason why we are putting our money where our mouth is and hiring more lawyers and more experts related to agriculture. These lawyers, I'm pleased to announce, will be based in the Midwest and will focus on both civil and criminal ag enforcement at the Antitrust Division.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. According to Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association President-elect Rachel Gray, much of the conversation during the group's recent trip to Washington, D.C. centered on the farm bill.
We really talked when we went into those offices about issues that are relevant and pertinent to cattle producers. We talked about the farm bill and changes that we hope to see or we want left out. One big thing right now is EQIP. The House, I think, is leaving EQIP alone. There are some issues in the Senate of making EQIP a program that's maybe a little less ag-based, and we, of course, don't want to see that. We talked about the wolves and our hope that the wolves are delisted because we do have a lot of cattle producers, especially up here in northern Minnesota, that are seeing wolf depredation issues.
Groups like the Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association are key in representing and voicing concerns of producers to policymakers.
Years ago, when I joined Minnesota Cattlemen's, I wasn't sure what that meant. And really, as I've gone through the process and kind of moved up in the organization, I've learned how much our voices matter and how much it matters to be a member. A lot of people will ask me, well, how do I know what's going on? The way you know is that you become a member, you get the newspaper, you get the emails, you get our phone numbers. If you're having a problem, if you're seeing a problem on your cattle operation, call us. We don't know what's happening in your specific area unless you tell us.
National Cattlemen's Beef Association Director of Membership and Affiliated Services, Gally Waltick, was on the Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association tour. Waltick emphasized the importance of membership.
For our Washington, D.C. staff, the biggest weapon we have is the amount of members that belong to NCBA and that belong to our state affiliate. So the more members that we have, the bigger our voice becomes and the more seriously we're taken from senators and representatives on Capitol Hill.
All segments of the cattle industry are represented in the NCBA membership.
We have members that, you know, might have 5 head of cattle and they might be in the southern part of the country. And then we also have members who might have 20,000 head of cattle. So at NCBA, we service and we are there for members of all sizes throughout the United States. Whether you're running cattle on public lands or private lands, we want to make sure that your needs are being met in Washington, D.C.
Checking markets, we have Minneapolis wheat 2¾ cents higher for July at 598.5. Chicago wheat for July 1¾ better, and hard red winter wheat for July a 2½ cent gain. July corn 2 higher, 427.5. New crop corn 1¼ higher. Soybeans, the July contract 11¼ higher right now, 1174.5. New crop soybeans 1114¾. That's 3¼ cents higher. Checking in on the farm calendar, the Minnesota Turkey Growers Association with their summer summit going on tomorrow and Friday. That'll be held in Alexandria, Minnesota. Everything starts tomorrow morning with committee meetings at 8 o'clock. NDSU's Carrington Research Extension Center has its Crop Management Field School on tap on Friday. Their registration is limited. There is continuing education credits available for certified crop advisors. Have yourself a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.